This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 24th of April, 1962. The title of this lecture is Rundown on 3D Crisscross, Part 1. This tape is 57 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Well, what is this? The 20, what of which? 24th of April. Is that all the further you've gotten along the track? Gee, I'm going to clear up the 28th today. Yeah, it looks good, too. It looks much better. It looks much better for all of them. All right. St. Hill Special Briefing Course, 24 April. AD 12. Well, tonight we have a very important lecture, which I will sail into at once, which is 3D Crisscross, a complete rundown, including patch-ups, everything else. This is all at one fell swoop. Once upon a time, there was a preclear. And he wasn't getting very clear. So a routine came along known as Routine 3, the history of which went back to maybe 57, 58, goals, importance of. By listing a tremendous number of goals, at first just listing a few goals, but finding the person's goal, and then listing a tremendous number of goals and not finding the person's goal, we struggle forward to finding the person's terminal. First by listing a few terminals, and then by listing a great many terminals, and again, seldom finding them. Now actually, old Routine 3 is really the pappy of all of these processes which come afterwards. And the simplification of these processes took place because Routine 3 was too hard to do. First thing we found out about Routine 3 is that auditors couldn't run E-meters. This became alarmingly apparent. And so a whole technology of SEC checking was developed in this direction as first and foremost a method of cleaning up the overts of the individual, and secondarily to get people to use e-meters properly, because it is very easy to read the reads of an e-meter on SEC checking. That has become PREP checking merely because of two reasons. One, security checking is not popular with the public, and it is not an embracive term. It doesn't really say what it's supposed to be doing. So this has changed off to PREP checking, and PREP checking is a distinct precision system and a very good system. You use PREP checking properly and you will find your PC will fly. But only if you dig. You can't get in PREP checking like you get in rudiments and expect anything to happen. So PREP checking remains a vital process and the only process that can keep the missed with holes from swamping the early sessions the PC has, and becomes a companion process to the CCHs, so that we have CCHs and PREP checking simply as a preparatory action to the routines. The Routine 3 processes, whatever they might develop into. In other words, everything today is headed in the direction toward preparing the PC to be run on some Routine 3 process. And everything in training is channeled today to get the auditor up to running a Routine 3 process. It must be very fully understood that there has been a great deal of difficulty in both clearing feces on routine three processes smoothly, and in teaching auditors to do it. There's been a lot of difficulty in both of those channels, and now those difficulties are very well ironed away, and it comes into an area of you can do it or you can't. And it's very like, as I've said in another lecture, riding a bicycle. You go out and get on a bicycle, even though you haven't done any bicycle riding for a number of years, you find out you can still ride a bicycle. But early, why, one morning you couldn't ride a bicycle, and one afternoon you could. It was just a mysterious action. It just suddenly took place. You could suddenly ride a bicycle. Oddly enough, the CCHs done with mechanical perfection do not necessarily prove very effective on the PC. You understand? You can do them with perfect mechanical perfection as you go along and stay just as an auditor, no PC there, see? And you can go along and you swell up the length of time it takes to get any result with the CCHs, you see, by a factor of about 25 times, which isn't slight. You'll still get some results, you see, but you only get about 1/25 of the result. You can do prep checking in this mechanical fashion. And you, again, will get a time factor involved. See, you can do it mechanically perfect, and you'll get a time factor involved. You're not really in communication with the PC, you're not really auditing, you really don't know quite how to ride the bicycle, but you're going through all emotions. You got that? And it's similar with routine three processes. You one day learn how to do it all mechanically. You learn all the mechanical points that you possibly could learn of whatever kind or description. All these mechanical points you know. And it takes you one god-awful length of time to get any result on the PC. You understand? And then one fine day, you really get your hands on it. And you all of a sudden, on the CCHs, can ride a bicycle. The last bulletin I put out is a good idea of this. It's arrived in central organizations here and there through the world. And my morning mail, for the first time, contained a very small flood of people who all of a sudden, after all these years, could ride a bicycle. And apparently just last week or so, they all of a sudden started doing the CCHs. And getting terrific results on the CCHs. And this was revelatory to them. Well, of course, they've been doing it mechanically for years, and they tried this other way, and of course, the other way is just starting to audit with it. And there's a big resurgence on that. Well, it's less noticeable on routine three, much less noticeable. One day, you are sitting there mechanically grinding it all out, trying to follow all of the rules and trying to do it all exactly right, and nothing much is happening, but you're making some progress. You've only been 2 weeks on this list, and you're making some progress, and then all of a sudden, why, everything is going beautifully. So there is still this factor of integration within the auditor of the applications of the tools of his trade. It is a factor which occurs. So it is not a factor which can be neglected in handling these techniques. The fellow is all thumbs, and then suddenly he can do it. And what that is, actually, is the auditor integrates what he knows sufficiently so that he is not introverted with trying and becomes extroverted sufficiently to be able to stay in two-way common address and audit the PC immediately in front of him. And you'll see this in an auditor instantly. It's a recognizable factor, whether on the CCH's prep checking or routine three. But the good news is, I don't know of one single portion now of the CCHs, prep checking, or routine 3, D, crisscross, which is the final development of this, which needs a sudden and fantastic interpretation or an enormously clever solution. Okay, I know it all by simple rules now. These rules are very simple. You see a gray check mark and you put a white check mark opposite. Not a gray or a green or a blue. You see, they're not a bunch of multiple responses. In other words, you don't get situation A and then get a multiple series of choices. See, you get the solution for A. Situation A, solution for A. Okay? And that makes this very easy to learn. So basically, what it comes down to is once one has the fundamentals of Scientology under his belt and his TRs and that sort of thing, he gets an integration of all of these processes. He integrates them within himself. That is to say, he's not still trying to remember the rules as he goes, don't you think? He's still not saying, well, let's see, when the bicycle starts to fall that way, to the right, you turn the wheel to the left. No, you turn the wheel to the right. Is it the right? Crash, you see? Now, that is the main barrier you have to cross. And you cross that barrier as well as you get the exact mechanical parts of any of these things exactly right. As long as you've got these mechanical parts down, then you will find that you can integrate them. See, the mechanical parts are there. They're quite mechanical, too. But an auditor makes them alive when he integrates them. You can still get someplace, you see, by just doing it mechanically. You see? But after suddenly it's integrated and you know what you're doing sufficiently well that all of a sudden you have a PC in front of you. You know, he just appears magically. And you aren't saying, well, gee, let's see, now, do I memorize this line and then I look at the E meter over here and then I say the line there and so on and then, all right, and memorize this line. And you all of a sudden find that you can do this particular process, action, sufficiently well, that if that is the item, you null it on the PC over there, you see? You get the difference. Well, it's a matter of knowing your business so well that you can extrovert from the mechanics of things and apply what you know without thinking about it. And that's what it comes down to. You're very fortunate at this time because you're not learning through a tremendous amount of change and hullabaloo and development. Now, it is not necessarily always good to learn plain facts. It's not always good. It is sometimes very beneficial to learn that facts are only relatively stable. Through that, you get an understanding of life, and you're always auditing livingness. You're not auditing from a bunch of fixed, stable data to which you can accumulate an enormous amount of confusion. Now, the auditor was very lucky who went over the jumps as we graduated from Routine 3 to Routine 3A to Routine 3D to Routine 3D crisscross. He knows where these things can falter and fall by the boards, and he knows their relative workability. And he's got enormous skill. And similarly, this group right here, for the most part, the students who have been here for a while, are very lucky right now to have in circulation so many erroneous line plots. That is actually, you're very fortunate. You're very fortunate. Because you're going to get an opportunity to see what you'll get a tremendous reality on what getting a wrong item will do. And you'll get a tremendous reality on the enormous resurgence that you can get by getting the right item instead of the wrong one. A lot of you get that subjectively and objectively. And I would say this group right here will probably never have any difficulty after this in straightening out a 3D crisscross activity if it's gone wrong. Students maybe 6 months from now, well, they had a line plot go wrong, and it gets straightened out instantly. And then they teach somebody in Bushville and the difference is that one of you will say to this fellow in Bushville, "Listen, you bloody idiot, you got a wrong item. Have you any idea what that will do? Have you any idea at all what that will do? Now listen, you, you're right!" And the student 6 months from now will say, "Well, it's, you just straighten it out and nothing much to getting a wrong item because you straighten it out at once and so forth." And the auditor he trains won't be convinced because he's never been subjected to the capital importance of it all, of it all, of it all. Probably won't have any people around who are all gimmicked up. See? You won't have any horrible examples. For instance, right where I sit, I can find 1, 2, 3, 4 horrible examples of what happens when you run off a line plot. Wrong way, too. You get a wrong item. Probably another one. Yeah, there's something awry here, see? And the net result of that is a turn on of some psychosomatic, "Oh God, last week I thought I was dying and this week I hope I do." Now an auditor 6 months from now will go out and you'll see he'll be auditing somebody and they all of a sudden come down with jaundosis lombosis of the Limburger and he'll say, "Well, he got sick," so he'll knock off the auditing perhaps till a person recovers or something, you know. He'll have that as a thought. Of course, he'll learn too, eventually. But that's the net result of any of these three processes run wrong. I can tell you directly how to spot an error in the running of any of these processes without going near the E-meter or even talking to the person on whom the error has been made. The CCH error is touchy. He's touchy. Doesn't like people coming near him. Doesn't like people bumping into him. This is somebody who's being audited. He's being audited on the CCHs. If he's being audited wrong, he doesn't like anybody to bump into him, touch him, or come near him. You brush past a student and he flinches. Well, you say, "All right, CCHs are being run into the ground." This is very interesting to spot when you have quite a few PCs around. Your next one is prep checking. A misprep checked PC is truculent, tough. They're enduring, they're tough-minded. They tend to be more forward and brassy. You know, you're seeing some fella and he's standing there, he's sort of hard-boiled about the whole thing and so forth. You say, "Well, somebody really dropped the bottom of the E-meter on this character on prep checking." You can spot it just exactly. You'll get used to this. And on 3D crisscross, when it's being run wrong, the fellow's going around and he looks like an action shot of somebody doing the twist, you know. but it's frozen. It's a 10,000th of a second exposure of somebody doing the twist, you know. They just all, and he looks old. And if he's not in motion, he can't examine him very closely. He just looks squashed and old. You watch. You mind my indicators on that. Isn't it interesting that these three processes pick up three different aspects? Now, you keep an eye on this, and you'll see I speak sooth on the matter, because it's really, they're quite different. You notice I always look over a class when I come in and sit down. I always thank you for your applause and then look you over. And I take, I know just about where you're not, you know, or what you've not gotten at. Now, we're dealing, really, for the first time in routine 3D crisscross on something that can be run wrong. We've got some material now that is so beefy, it is so capable of overthrowing the normal balance wheels of what people laughingly call their minds, that it can throw them wrong. And that's one of the reasons behind this tremendous insistence on doing it right. Is because auditing has always been, any auditing is better than no auditing, don't you think? And we're slightly over into the fringe here now. Some auditing shouldn't have happened. Do you see that? I don't know that it's true that it's worse than no auditing at all, but I do know that it can get pretty miserable. When you attack a goals problem mass, and you attack this thing head on, and then you flagrantly pick up the wrong piece, and then you op-term the wrong piece and get another wrong piece, and then you industriously get another wrong piece, and then you op-term that, you're way out in the middle of nowhere, and the PC, well, he's certain that it'd be better if the world did come to an end. Because you're handling such tremendous charge. That charge is residual, and it bleeds off the case permanently. It isn't something that charges back up. But remember, if you're bleeding off basic charge off a case, this thing called charge actually is electronic currents or suppressions or potentials. We use the word charge to represent force. And the interchanges amongst masses inside the bank constitute charge. And if you have a positive and a negative plate on a battery, you've got amperes and volts and stuff, you see. And sometime, if you're just fooling around, connecting up the lamp or something like that, well, it put your fingers into the two prongs of the mains, you know, and it goes bzzz. And if you're very good at this, you'll notice that there was mechanical force involved in this thing. It wasn't anything weird. It was real mechanical force involved in this. Well, that mechanical force is residual in the bank. And you start picking up the wrong pieces of a goals problem mass, and it isn't that you create new charge, but you throw into existence old charge. You re-stimulate charge, in other words. Now, there's two things that could happen. Now, we're talking about 3D crisscross. There's two things that could happen. You can bleed the charge off, or you can dam it up and generate more. Now, this would be the difference between letting the air out of a tire and hooking it up to the compressors and just not disconnecting it. It would be uncomfortable. Now, when you've got the tire up to 110 pounds, when it is calculated to wear 60, you pick up another wrong terminal and put another 20 pounds on the tire. And then you pick up another. Well, unfortunate part about it is, you being Thetans, you can't explode. So the analogy breaks down at this point. We can just put another 20 pounds on, and another 40 pounds on, and then put 100 pounds in the rim. You see, we're just getting this more pressure, more charge, more potential, until the person feels like he's an animated lightning bolt with no place to go. And the funny part of it is that these charges are on various terminals, what you call terminals. You call these things items. Op terms, terminals, the generalized term is item. It's an item in the 3D crisscross mash, the goals problem mash. You find the item by 3D crisscross. And if you find the right item, good old, you've deleted charge. And if you pick it up and find the wrong item, you could add charge. And the charge will stay there until you do it right. It doesn't bleed off because of breakfast and a good night's sleep and the doctor's prescription that you should go to the beach and rest for 120 days. You come back, why, the rim's still got 100 pounds in it, and you're still going 130 pounds on the tire. You see? The only thing that will undo it is Scientology. Now, you understand there were part times on the track when the person did have this much charge going. All you've done is yank it all into PT. And you can keep on finding wronger and wronger and wronger terminals, you see, and pulling more and more charge into PT. And the aspect of this looks like psychosomatic illness and other odd things. So there's a liability to each of the processes we have today, and the first liability is the CCHs. By making the PC lose through over-control, we just scream at him and hound at him and overwhelm him and never ask him anything about what's wrong, never carry on any two-way conversation and so forth. We do such things as we make a circle with the book and he makes a circle with the book. And we say, well, did you duplicate that? And he says, yes, I did. And you say, well, I don't think you did. I think you better do that square again. And he says, it wasn't a square, it was a circle. And you say, no, it was a square. I mean, you can muck this up so the fellow starts feeling very overwhelmed. There's not any great liability to this. He'll come out of it. Prep checking, the liability is missing withholds. That's really the only real liability to prep check. It doesn't matter much what you restimulate. For God's sakes, don't miss a withhold. Missing a withhold is not the PC has a withhold and you fail to pull it. You understand that? A missed withhold is a should have known. The PC feels you should have found out about something and you didn't. Now that is the liability of prep checking, getting into that kind of situation. You should have found out, you didn't. Hell hath no fury like a PC with a missed withhold. All your ARC breaks and so forth boil right to the surface, right there. Missed withhold, bang. That has a liability. It actually doesn't have the potential of lousing up a PC particularly, except if you miss withholds and miss withholds and miss withholds, he'll simply get more antisocial. I don't know if there's any liability to that particularly. Yeah. But that's about all that would happen. He won't like you, and he's liable to leave Scientology or something like that. I mean, as far as his personal health is concerned, there's no terrific liability. As far as his behavior is concerned, and as far as his future progress is concerned, yeah, there is a liability. There's something very easily done. CCH is very easily done. Just run the same CCHs right, properly, and it'll all come off. See? Same way, prep checking, get off the missed withholds, and it all straightens out. Now, routine 3D crisscross has its own package of liabilities. And those liabilities are picking up the wrong end of the goals problem mass and pulling it to the wrong end of the goals problem mass and pulling the charge up to present time. The thing that you can do wrong is start the wrong line and get a wrong item. Now you've exceeded missed withholds are the source of all ARC breaks. Missed withholds and wrong items are the source of all of your 3D crisscross ARC breaks. Your PC under 3D crisscross who gets ARC breaky should be suspected first of having a missed withhold. But if that doesn't instantly pull, then that somebody has gone over the lines and gotten a wrong item, and there's something wrong with the line plot. or you're just knuckleheadedly opterming something that is wrong. In other words, there's something wrong with items. You can create an ARC-breaky, nattery condition because he's damned uncomfortable. He can get pretty ARC-breaky and pretty hard to hold in session and so forth. Well, don't blame the PC, and don't expect him to know what's wrong. The probability, not only the probability, this is what has happened, is he has got, somebody's gotten the wrong item on him, or your line plot, in other words, is wrong. And the remedy for it, of course, is straighten up the line plot. And the method of straightening up the line plot is complete the list for which the item was wrong. That's the whole answer. The whole answer. There is no other action. I mean, the thing you do is, if you find that an item is not reading, even when you get the invalidations off of the thing, you know at once that the list on which it came was not complete, and that is all there is to it. And the only action you take is to get the rudiments in and complete the list. It's the invariable action. That's your situation A, solution A. It's very neat. And the rule is that to straighten out a case on 3D crisscross, you take the earliest wrong item, get the invalidations off of it, check it, still a wrong item, make sure it's wrong if it's wrong to be wrong, you see, and then complete the list that the item came from. The earliest wrong item you can find on the line plot. And complete the list. That's all. That's it. This is one of the most magical actions. The PC will think he won't quite know what hit him. It was all so horrible, and it's suddenly all so nice. Now, if it doesn't straighten out, it's because in patching it up, you didn't get the earliest wrong item. If this didn't bring very quick, instant relief to the case, you didn't get the earliest wrong item, that's all. That's it, simple. So there's another item earlier that is wrong. And then you take the list on which that item was wrongly gotten and complete that list, and the magic will occur. Simple. In other words, this is about the simplest remedies that you could possibly have. CCHs go wrong? Run them right. That's all you have to do, is run them right. Okay. Let the PC win. Keep in two-way calm with the PC. You know, all of those things. But just run them right. Prep checking goes wrong. Get off the missed whip holes. See, that's simple. Next 3D crisscross, find the earliest wrong item, and the remedy is always complete the list and find the right one. Now, it's very easy for me to tell you this. You in doing this first time, are going to be all thumbs, I'm sure. But you have lots of fruitful ground, because there isn't a line plot in the shop that is right. They run something on the order of 50% wrong items. I think that's pretty good, huh? 50% at least wrong items. Not very good, was it? Huh? Oh, no. There's no blame connected with this. There's no blame connected with this, with thee or me or anything else. We're on the line and finding out this data, and you're getting the data, and we're straightening it out as fast as it can be fed. That's all there is to that. All information on routine 3D crisscross was carefully released on HCO information letters. That's because until tonight, you might say, there was never a moment when you could say unswervably that this, you see, is it.
and this is what goes wrong with it, and this is what you do. You see. So that's just the way it is. Now I can tell you now exactly the steps that you go through, 1, 2, 3, 4, exactly what you do with these steps and how you straighten these steps out and all that sort of thing, with one exception. Because of the horrors I have seen on the subject of goals lists, I hate to tell you that if the goal originally found on the PC does not check out, that you have to complete and find the right goal on that PC, because I've seen people work for 2 months. I don't know that it's true. So we will just leave that little question mark sitting there. But I do know this, where the person's terminal found from the goal is wrong, you have to check the goal to make sure that it's right. Now what you do exactly if you find that goal wrong is a little bit out of our province, because 3D crisscross deals with items, not goals. Now how much charge is going to accumulate because of a difficulty of that nature? I am not going to go into at the moment. What I'm saying is that we know for sure that you complete the list of the earliest wrong item, and a goal is not an item. I do not know that you have to complete a goals list. Now, how do you do 3D crisscross? Well, actually, it's quite elementary. One of the most elementary processes or activities anybody ever really got into. This is a very easy bag of tools. They're some of the finest tempered burglar's tools ever manufactured. They can open the vaults of mines which have been closed for the trillennia. Well, this is a very fancy bag of tools, but they're actually very simple tools. Now, we have to be absolutely sure that a person can use and handle an E-meter, is flawless in his model session, is excellent in his TRs, before we let him near it. Because all difficulties in the routine threes that we have had have stemmed from just those things. Person didn't know how to read an E-meter. Simple. Person's TRs stunk. Their model session was too poor to command any confidence. Because you mustn't really get in the road of the PC's attention while you're doing 3D crisscross. You're going to be fooled, because it's not like the old-time repetitive processes, but the PC actually is more deeply introverted than he was on the old-time repetitive processes. And therefore, your application of a routine 3D crisscross must be flawless so as not to distract the PC or upset it. Now, we're going to take PCs who have been prep-checked and given CCHs until they got tone arm action. Tone arm action was easy. And CCHs and prep checking will give you tone arm action, regardless of what's wrong with the case, except when the tone arm action is arrested because of a wrong 3D crisscross plot. And then we cannot absolutely guarantee that the CCHs and prep checking will restore the tone arm action. Isn't that interesting? 3D crisscross is more powerful than either the CCHs or prep checking. The remedy for 3D crisscross is 3D crisscross. But for raw meat in off the street, yeah, you've got your CCH and prep checking. Let's establish the PC so he gets tone arm action and so his rudiments will stand, because you don't want to be doing 3D crisscross while you're trying to force the rudiments in. And the result of this, I mean, the auditor is just all thumbsy. He's trying to run every kind of a session, you see. When he's trying to do 3D crisscross, he's running prep checking and And oh, my God, what a mess. Dave, what a mess. It's terrible. Instead of that, he should go back to his CCHs and his prep checking until he gets the rudiments so he can keep the jolly old rudiments in. But remember this. Your rudiments can start flying out because of wrong line plots. So there's actually only one source of out rudiments, but you don't have them, in the CCHs, and that's PC is never let have a win. Right? And there's only one real source of out rudiments in prep checking, and that, of course, is missed with halts. Okay? But in 3D crisscross, you have PC overwhelmed and not permitted to have a win, must be included in this. Missed with holes must be included in this. And wrong item can cause the PC to be AIC breaking and forced out. And the PC won't know what the hell's wrong with him. He'll assign it to the prep checking he's had. He will assign it to this. He will assign it to that. No, it's a wrong item. He's still all stacked up with charge. He's got charge to the ears and somewhat higher. And he just can't spot, of course, what is wrong with him, because what is wrong with him is because nobody let him spot what was wrong with him. You follow that? He never saw the terminal that was bitching him up, to use plain Anglo-Saxon. See, he never saw this. So, of course, he doesn't know what the hell it is. Well, that's the trouble, you see. He doesn't know what it is. He knows, though, it isn't what he got. See, they handed him a catfish. He'll go along with this catfish to be polite. But you see, he knows it isn't a catfish. And he feels there's something missing here. There's something wrong somewhere in this porridge. And he looks through the porridge in vain, and he can't find where any catfish has anything to do with it. So catfishes don't eat porridge, and he goes around. The next thing you know, he feels totally adrift. He's got a lot of residual charge, and the stable datum in the middle of the charge is the stable item in the middle of the charge, and the confusion won't release because nobody's found the stable datum that's holding the confusion in place. It's an incomplete list. Well, this is what's got him goofed. So he looks all over the place to find out what's wrong, and he assigns it to the auditor. He says the auditor must be wrong. The auditor isn't holding his little finger straight. He assigns it to the auditing he has had. His prep checking, he must have been misprep checked on something. You see, he assigns it to this, and he assigns it to that, or he'll goofily assign it to the next line he hasn't done yet. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to get catastrophe. Because if he keeps plowing on further in 3D crisscross with a wrong line behind him, it is something like a ship which has gone up on the beach that is trying to get off by running its engines full speed ahead. And of course it just keeps banging harder and harder into the rocks. And it gets more and more roughed up. So he says, well, we ought to find a new item. We ought to list this. We ought to list that. He'll get frantic. He'll start giving his auditor tremendous numbers of lists and all kinds of things. Anything, you see, to straighten out this thing. And the truth of the matter is, there's a wrong item. It isn't necessarily the wrong item that that auditor found. It might be the wrong item that was found earlier than that. So you see the liabilities of these processes. They are actually very easily healed. But the first way to go about healing them is to learn how to do all their parts right. The first way to get into a state where you can integrate these processes is to learn how to do each part of them right. Now, anybody who can successfully prep check can learn 3D crisscross. See, that's followed through very nicely. As a matter of fact, it looks to people as though 3D crisscross is easier to run than prep checking. That's because they've forgotten that the liability of doing prep checking was the liability of reading the meter. and of sitting there and doing model session and other things, you see. So they got those things kind of whipped. You know, they're over the jumps on those. So all of a sudden they sail into 3D crisscross and they learn these little routines, 3D crisscross, and they look so simple. They look very easy compared to how hard it was to learn prep check. Actually, it's not. If you were to teach somebody meter, model session, TRs, and all the parts of 3D crisscross simultaneously and never teach them any prep checking, so you never teach them anything else with the meter, they would have more trouble than we have been able to heal. And I can tell you by experience that students have been taught, or we've tried to teach, and the teaching has been by experts, people trying to get their goals and terminals and things like that, which is a routine three process, without the benefit of the experience of prep checking. And it has been the most unsuccessful activity we ever cared to have anything to do with. It was a mess. While they're doing the process to clear the case, they're trying to get the rudiments in that should have been gotten in before you started, don't you see? So they were doing everything at once, and it amounted to just one awful mess. And it was a bad mess. Now, wherever we look in auditing today, we find out that there is no substitute for a result. There's no reason today you shouldn't have a result. You do your auditing splendidly, perfectly, and of course your result is tremendous. And you do your auditing poorly and sloppily, and your result will be horrible. The process isn't what's doing it, don't you think? It's the skill with which it's being applied that is doing it. In other words, the processes are there. The activities are there, and all you have to learn is these activities flawlessly, and you will get the results. Let's not worry about the thing otherwise. It's too easy. Now, my basic feeling about any auditor has always been that he is perfectly willing to do a darn good job on a PC. He's always been willing to do this, you see. And I feel that we've been moving forward, sorting out of the way the unnecessary bric-a-brac and getting a clearer view of it, getting better processes, at the same time getting a better parallel of what the mind was all about and what the mind was doing. And we have been moving now for some little time, hence the St. Hill Special Briefing Course, in a zone of flawless application. We're actually teaching flawless application. It's rather fantastic. People go from here into various parts of the world and so forth, and I routinely just receive the most horrible, shocked notes and dispatches and so forth. First on their case, they see them get off airplanes and things like that, and somebody makes a startled remark about their case. But this is usually followed through by some sort of a remark on the subject of what they're being audited by this person or watching this person audit, and they didn't know anybody could do this. The truth of the matter is the auditing which was being done in the area before that person went into the area was far more complicated. He's actually doing a much simpler job of auditing. And people look at this smooth, simple job of auditing that's going forward, and the PC sitting there in session as though he's clamped in steel vices, you know. And the guy's mind running off exactly as it's supposed to run off, and it looks absolutely magical to them. Well, it probably is absolutely magical. The number of items which go into making that final result are numerous, but they are not variables the way they have been. So we have some invariable processes and some variable applications, and we do get invariable results. And here's the first thing we should know about auditing right at the present time. If you don't get a result, then look over what's been going on, what you've been doing, or what has been done with the case, because you could put the case back together again. You see? If you don't get the expected result, then there's been a departure. And the whole of case patch-up today is the spotting of the departure. Yeah, I've given you the remedies for each departure. We did CCHs on the guy, and he never had a win, see? We screamed at him the whole time, or something like this. All right, we run him CCHs in good two-way comm, and the other CCHs run off. That's all there is to it. We sec-checked the guy, or did something of the sort. Missed a whole bloomin' stack of withholds and so forth. Well, the thing about it is just getting back into prep checking and get the withholds. Similarly, 3D crisscross. We've got to take his line plot, any item that has been found on him. We've got to go over those, and we've got to get some kind of an order of sequence of when they were found, and we've got to check those things over by getting the rudiments in, the invalidations. So I'll check those things, in other words, over to find out which of those items are right and which of them are wrong, and any early item that's right, we take the earliest and we simply do it right. In other words, you know, let me show you something here. Any error in auditing today is then repaired by doing the same process right. Do you see? That's very tricky. Right? See, because we sewed up a pair of snippers in his abdomen, we don't have to take out a molar. See, we get the idea. Now notice that we never undo any of this auditing. You notice we're not up against erasing auditing. At no time in anything we're doing do we bother to erase auditing. See, we just do it right, and that erases it. It's rather marvelous. If you understand this, you'll get a good reality on this when you're patching up a case. Somebody down in, oh, I don't know, South North Port Elizabeth, something like this, they've been doing 3D crisscross. They got the bulletins and so on, and they're doing 3D crisscross, and they just having a good time, and they've got a whole bunch of items, and they've got everything all stacked up, and the PC is in the hospital, and see, weirdly enough, you don't have to do anything extraordinary to this PC to straighten this PC out. You get from the PC, we've also bypassed having to have any of the lists. If your PC lists have been lost, we can still trace up the items one way or the other. And all we got to do is find the earliest item we can find that doesn't check out, and then we do that one right. We don't care if he's in the hospital or the spin bin. This is the same thing we would do, you see. We don't have to erase Joe's auditing and get Bill off the case and run OWs on his Aunt Agnes. If his case went totally wrong under 3D crisscross, we just find the earliest item, complete the list, that's all, and find the right item. It'll look absolutely, frantically magical to you when you do this a few times. You won't believe that anything could right. First, that anything could go this wrong. Or write this fast. And it's quite interesting. So therefore, our processes as they sit are precision packages. They are done in exact ways, and they are remedied by doing the same process right. So you should certainly be able to learn that. There's nothing very tricky about it. Now, similarly, all past auditing remedies with 3D crisscross. You're not going to worry about a bunch of auditing flubs or blunders. Past auditing can't be remedied, by the way, interestingly enough, with prep checking. It'll only partially remedy, and then with a great deal of imagination on the auditor's part. Interesting. Of course, we could prep check him on his past auditing and his past piecing, and we could get the rudiments in easily, you see, and we could set him up to run 3D crisscross better, but the whole thing will come back to battery and go right when we get into 3D crisscross. We'll find out why he's always had trouble as an auditor. Fine, I always had trouble. We find the 13th item on the case is horse doctor. After that, well, there's no more trouble with his auditing. So, now there's the broad picture, the very, very broad picture of the processes and where 3D crisscross fits in its relative value with regard to other processes. Now, in the next hour, I'm going to tell you exactly what each step, how each step is done bit by bit, painfully, okay? I'll tell you with great precision, okay? Thank you.